As we're turning in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, let me just remind us some of the words we just sang. For the cause of Christ we go, with joy to reap and faith to sow, as many see and many put their trust in the Son. That really is the entire point of the message this morning, but as you guys know how this works, I'll use up my allotted time and probably some of yours too. But here's the thing. It is our cause to live in such a way within and also outside the walls of this place, to live in such a way that others see Jesus and are encouraged to put their trust in Jesus. And if we sang that hymn with any sincerity at all, do you sing with sincerity? I hear that. You all sing as if you actually believe what you're singing. That's a compliment, by the way. Commitment before God. If you sang that hymn with any sincerity, you just made a commitment before God to deliberately reflect Christ to others with your life and through your words. If people around us living in spiritual darkness are to see Jesus for who he really is, they must see him and they must see his gospel through us. Our cause is not simply to bemoan and complain about the spiritual darkness around us. And let me just say, because it's early, maybe I'm a little crabby still, there's far too many of us doing that. That is not our primary cause. Our cause is not to shake our heads in disgust at the darkness around us, or to curse the darkness. Our cause is Christ's cause. Jesus came to shine the light of God, God's nature, and God's truth, to make clear the doorway to his kingdom, that sinners like us might find it. Do you believe this? Because the thing of it is if we believe it, it'll show up in the way that we live our lives, the way that we order our priorities as a church family. Jesus puts it this way in Mark 4:21. He says, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand?" These are incredibly simple questions that nonetheless get all up in your business as you consider them seriously. Is a lamp brought to be concealed? No. Just checking. Are you concealing the nature of God and his gospel by the way you live your life? Is not that lamp to be set on a lampstand? Yes. Are you revealing the nature of God and his gospel by the way you live your life? The thing of it is your life, my life, either conceals or reveals the nature of God and his gospel. Those are the two options. And I want us to just look at this simple parable and the one that follows and trust the Holy Spirit will speak this clearly to our hearts. Look at Mark said, verse 21, Mark tells us that Jesus also said to his disciples, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, Jesus is talking about hearing with the heart. Hearing with comprehension, with understanding that leads to a response, as opposed to just taking in sound. And then Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Now that's perfectly clear, isn't it? Let's just close in prayer, shall we? I mean, what is he talking about? Here we have the parable of the lamp and the parable of the measure, as it is sometimes called. Both of these parables deal with the disciples' stewardship of the gospel. And so if you're a note taker or you think the person next to you should become an A, write down stewardship. This is about our stewardship of the gospel, okay? Jesus had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what was the gospel? Jesus said in Mark 1, we read this, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Follow me." Remember, a gospel, you know, what's the word gospel mean? Good news, okay. But as we scratched deeper than that, as we began this study of Mark, we saw that a gospel is not just good news, but it's authoritative news. And it is urgent news. And it is personal news. It's authoritative because it comes from God. It's not our gospel, it's God's gospel. Remember, Jesus is eternal God. So when Jesus speaks, God is speaking. And this good news, this gospel, is urgent news. Why? Because judgment is coming. Our holy God is reclaiming this world that has been corrupted by sin. There is a day coming when God will judge sin. And in day out, just by very nature, live under the influence of sin day in and day out. And this judgment is decisive. And this judgment is final. And this judgment is eternal. Does that sound serious to you? And this gospel, this good news, is personal news. You see, it's to do with you. God graciously offers to sinners not just an escape from this eternal judgment for sin, but full reconciliation with Him. Unhindered friendship with Him. Full participation in this kingdom of God that even now is breaking into humanity. And it's all through the work of Jesus. Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be right with God? Do you want to know that you're a participant in this kingdom of God? Then repent of your sin, Jesus says. And then he said, believe. Believe in me. Trust in me. Trust that I came. And then I went to live the perfection of God that you cannot live. And then I went to that cross and paid the penalty that you deserve for your sin. Follow me. Repent, believe, follow. That's the gospel. Have you heard this before? You have if you've been coming here. And here's just a pro tip for you. You're going to hear it again next week, Lord willing. And if you are a repentant, believing follower of Jesus, these are present active tense things, right? This isn't something that happened a while ago. I'm a Christian. I'm a repenting person. I'm a believing person. I'm a following person. I'm not talking about some transaction that happened in the past that I've forgotten about. If you are such a person, this simple parable in verse 21 is a reminder that I now have a purpose. I have a stewardship, a responsibility to shine the light of God into the darkness that is around me. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? More literally, that could read, the lamp does not come, does it, in order to be placed under a basket or under a bed? The lamp, remember, Jesus is the lamp. And he's saying to his light of the world, he's referring to himself. And he's saying to his followers, look, those of you who have been given the privilege of seeing me for who I really am, your Savior and your Master, your God, you now have a primary divine purpose for your daily living. So you can put this on your day planner every single day for the rest of your life. I am to purposefully shine the truth about God's kingdom into the darkness around me. You say, well, I spend most of my time cursing the darkness. I spend most of my time whining and complaining about it because it's just not like it was when I was a kid. Do you realize that older people, anybody here an older people? Do you realize that older people, when you were a kid, were saying the exact same thing? It's been that way since the fall. Don't keep the truth of the kingdom to yourselves. Don't obscure the truth about the kingdom by the way you live your life. Shine the truth about God and his gospel into the darkness. Let me just make this simple. This is big crayon stuff, but it's sure important that a Christian out into the wide world and live tomorrow. As a Christian, I have an inherent ability and responsibility to take the message of the kingdom of God into my world. Wherever I find myself, that's why I'm there. My workplace, my neighborhood, my marriage, my parenting, my friendships, whatever your surroundings, you're there because you have an ability from God and a responsibility before God as to shine the light of his kingdom in that place, in those relationships. Now, how many of you have a suspicion that maybe you've heard this before? Me too. Remember, as Jesus explained the parable of the sower to his followers, he said this. He said, to you, this is Mark 4:11, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And now he tells them why they've been let in on this mystery. You know, when somebody tells you a secret, sometimes you think, well, I guess I'm supposed to just keep that secret and not make it known to anybody. That could be appropriate for some secrets. But we're reading, if you will, is not the purpose of the secret, the mystery, if you will, of the truth about God's kingdom. Jesus is telling his disciples, look, it's not going to remain a mystery forever. It's going to be revealed to more and more people. It will remain a mystery to most people until Jesus is crucified, until he rises from the dead and ascends to heaven. But then those comparative few to whom it had been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, the disciples, would begin in the power of the Spirit to turn the world upside down by telling others the mystery of the kingdom, salvation for poor sinners like us through the work of Jesus Christ. Acts 17, verse 30 says this, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by from the dead. You see, people need to know this. And Paul says to the Corinthians, this is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. to those whom it has been given to know the mystery, Mark 4:11, an ability has been given, and a responsibility has been given to share this truth with others. Now, what do I mean by the word ability? What am I talking about? Some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm not an evangelist. This is starting to creep me out because it's starting to sound a lot like evangelism. And I think of that as like going up to people's doors and leaving something and then walking away really fast before they open the door. And that's not evangelism. That's just weird, okay? This is not a call to be weird. What do I mean by ability? Do you realize that in Christ, you are being recreated to be an image bearer of God? Do you realize that that's why man was created? To bear man's image? And sin has corrupted the nature of God. The ability of men and women to reflect the glory of God, the nature of God. But in Christ, what's the Bible say? If anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, old things have... Behold, all things are... You guys read the Bible. I'm so encouraged by this. And not at all surprised. We know this stuff. In Christ, our sin is not merely forgiven. The record of it erased. It's better news than that. We're, by the Spirit, we're made a new person, a new creation. And we are being restored progressively as image bearers of God. So this ability I'm talking about is to the ability that God himself is working in you to reflect his nature wherever you go. You function more and more as light set against darkness simply by living out the nature of God that's being restored to you by the Holy Spirit. As you live righteously, as you live in purity, as you live truthfully, you're reflecting the nature of God. As you live with gentleness, as you live with self-control, reflecting the nature of God. As you live with love and selflessness, you're reflecting the nature of God made plain to us in the life of Jesus. You want to know what God is like? You look to Jesus. So Jesus is reminding us this morning that our ability and our responsibility is to display rather than cover. Those are the two options that he's talking about. It's either reveal or conceal. To display rather than cover the light of his character and his gospel. So the way that we think, the way that we act, the words that we choose to speak, we always want to be asking ourselves, you know what? What would be the most accurate reflection of God, who he is, and what he is like? Friends, I don't know about you, but this kind of gets up in my business a little bit. This is kind of convicting. I want to examine my life not in terms of what will benefit me or what Steve thinks is right, but what best reflects the nature and character of God to the people around me. The gospel absolutely destroys pragmatism to us. In other words, the tendency we all have to live in the direction of what seems right to us. What seems like it's going to work out. Do you see, in these simple words of Jesus, how high your calling is? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Here he's telling his first followers, the earliest disciples of Jesus, hey, it's going to be your privilege to reflect light wherever I send you. Now, here's the thing. Any of you have a tendency to focus on the negative instead of the positive? There's a couple of you here today, let me just say. Maybe a couple in each section, if you want to be honest about it. So there's at least eight of you, right? Me too. So let's just deal with that. Because the opposite of this is also true. We obscure the nature of God to others when our lives are all littered up with sin and self-centeredness. That's like putting light under a basket or under a bed. Here's what the Lord put on my heart as someone who talks a lot. Don't anybody say too much, but as somebody who talks a lot, it does little good for me to preach the gospel clearly if poorly. Now, somehow I think that wasn't just for me. It does little good for me to preach the gospel clearly if I live the gospel poorly. How many of you know your life often proclaims the gospel long before your words ever do? And our lives either commend the gospel or frankly discredit the gospel. Now there is another side to this coin when it comes to reflecting the nature of God and his gospel. Still in verse 21, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? See, Jesus had already told his disciples that they would imitate what he had actually done for them. He said, follow me, this is Mark 1:17, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus obligates himself to take those whom he catches, if you will, for his kingdom, and make them into those who go out and catch others in his strength. So this ability and responsibility to convey the message of the kingdom of God is not meant to be just a passive thing, you know, the lifestyle part. It's an active thing as well. There will be an active, deliberate, intentional ambition in the lives of Jesus' followers to bring others into the kingdom. You say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Let me just caution you. When you come to the scriptures and you say to yourself, I don't know if I agree with that, just go ahead and write this one down. It doesn't matter a hill of beans whether you agree with it or not. This is the truth of God. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, if you're following Jesus, you're fishing. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Jesus says, I obligate myself to make my disciples into those who catch others for the kingdom of God. Now, let's just be clear. Jesus saves, we don't. But we have the privilege of conveying the message of salvation into the dark world that is around us. So the lifestyle part, I'm calling passive. That's maybe not the right word, but it's all I could think of. The proclaiming part is active, okay? We've been called to both. You say, well, where do you see that? Well, in the same way, the lamp is intentionally placed in the room. It's not an accidental thing. The lamp is intentionally placed in the room and put on that shelf that's sticking out of the wall so that all may see it. We're putting a lamp under a basket or a bed when we ignore the Great Commission, either as individuals or as a church. Jesus said this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So in other words, there is no authority above that of Jesus. And look at what Jesus has done with his authority that he commands. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it wouldn't make any sense for us as a church to imagine that we're submitting to the authority of Jesus if we were not fully embracing this commission. Are you with me so far? Now, the same is true for us as individuals, by the way. It wouldn't make any sense to think in terms of submitting to the authority of Jesus if this commission in some way isn't affecting my life. As of 4:21, Some people think that Mark 4:21, and we will move on in a minute. I know some of you are concerned about it. I can see it on your faces. Is sort of a pre-Great Commission. He's preparing his disciples for what he's going to tell them after the resurrection. And I want to just mention, by way of getting you thinking of how what this might look like in your personal life, some ways that you'll be hearing about in the coming weeks that will be opportunities to exercise that ability and step into that responsibility to take the message of the kingdom into the world around us here. Pastor Sean already mentioned one example. As a church, by God's grace, will be leading an effort to take the Jesus film, more on that later, to every household in the 83835 zip code. And let me just say, that's a lot of houses. And so we'll be asking other churches to participate in this with us, but we'll be inviting others in other fellowships to join us in making sure that our neighbors in Hayden have the opportunity to hear the gospel as it is conveyed to them in this. And we're going to need people who, will take packets to doors. And we're going to need people who will come here and assemble those packets. And we're going to need people who will pray, who will be on their knees praying fervently that the Word of God would meet its purpose in revealing Christ to our neighbors. And then we're going to need people who will follow up with those who have received the packets, you see. And a person says, well, why would we do this? There's so much else we could be doing. Good heavens, we don't even have asphalt in the parking lot. Why would we do that? Because as a church, we want to commit ourselves to put the lamp on the stand where it belongs. That's why. Don't put the lamp under a basket of skepticism. Oh, they don't want to hear that. Don't put the lamp under a bed of apathy. I don't know if I want to do that. You'll also be hearing in the weeks ahead about a need that Kootenai County has for mentors, get this, men and women who are released from the Kootenai County Jail need mentors. And the Department of Corrections, listen carefully because you can't make this up. This is a God thing. The Department of, that's how great, is actually asking churches to provide mentors. That's how great the need is. I don't think we were first on the list. I'm just saying. But here's the thing. What an opportunity for those of you who are really relational to do the hard work of investing time and energy in the life of somebody who could be nudged closer to Jesus Christ. Hey, well, why would we do that? We've got enough of our own people, don't we? Man, I hope we never think that as a church. Let's not put the lamp under a basket of prejudice, under a bed of self-righteousness. Some of you who know the Lord as your Savior need to take a very important first step of obedience. Remember, Jesus said, "Follow me." You need to be baptized. And Jesus has commanded this. It's a privilege, but a command nonetheless. At some point in Mark's gospel, we'll eventually get to Mark 16, won't we? O ye of little faith. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe is a requirement for some. And we'll wrestle with that. Jesus isn't talking about baptism as a requirement for salvation. It's just that early on, those who believed in him were baptized. It's as if he's using the term synonymously. That's why I keep saying there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't actually follow Christ. That's a contradiction in terms. So on August 5th, we'll have our annual baptism service down at the Spokane River. Somebody just asked me last week, why do you guys do this in the summer? Listen, I say this every year. It's so you've got an outside shot at surviving it. That's why. The water is warm enough in August for us to do this. Seriously, if you're wondering whether you should be baptized as a follower of Jesus, that you haven't taken that step yet, let me just encourage you this way, in light of the parable that we're in. Don't put the lamp of your personal allegiance to Jesus under a basket of fear or under the bed of procrastination. Don't do that. Now look at what Jesus says next in verse 22. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have something, there's a time and a place. If you have a truth that needs to be known, there's a time and a place for the disclosure of that, right? Men, listen, when you propose to your spouse, those of you who are married, I'm just spitballing here, but I'm thinking you thought that through. Please tell me you thought that through. I'm not saying it went well, but I mean, at least you had some kind of a thought before that happened, right? Why did you do that? Because she's valuable to you, that's why. Still is, right? Fellas? Go ahead and tell her that every once in a while. Jesus is saying, look, I'm only going to be with you a little while longer. And then there will be this time when the mystery of the kingdom is to be made known worldwide. So for us, in this time, in this dispensation, if you want to put it that way, when is the time to make Christ known? Now. Where is the place to reflect God's nature and to share the message of the kingdom? Wherever you happen to be is the place. With the same measure, verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Don't miss this. As we receive truth, it's happening right now. My prayer is that at some point you stopped hearing just my voice and you started hearing the voice of the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. You're receiving truth and responding to the truth. God says, you know how much I delight in that? I give more. I give a capacity to receive more. Truth received and followed enlarges my capacity to receive more. Faith and obedience are like muscles. You exercise them. What did you call that exercise, Sean? Kettle corn? No, a kettle. This is why I struggle with this stuff. Listen, you're meant to exercise. Do so, the muscles of faith and obedience. And as you do so, God is pleased to give you greater capacity for faith and obedience. But you know, the opposite is also true, don't you think? Says Mr. Kettlecorn. Muscles can atrophy, right? They can atrophy. Why do muscles atrophy? Somebody just say it. You don't use them. I mean, this is so simple, right? You don't use them. They atrophy. That's what Jesus is talking about. Disuse or misuse of spiritual ability results in spiritual apathy and loss. Luke's gospel makes this a little bit easier to understand. Listen to Luke 8:18. Jesus says, whoever has, to him will be given, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. Each step of faith and obedience leads you deeper into your experience of your relationship with Christ. Think about what is happening to these early disciples. They don't know the whole big picture yet. Jesus is going to say more to them about this whole light and darkness thing. They're taking basic first steps of gospel. We're going to see that to Christ. And as we just start to turn the pages of Mark's gospel, we're going to see that pretty soon they're sent out two by two with power over demons and power to heal sickness. Because that was necessary in the time they were living in. Jesus equipped them for that. And then they would see Jesus feed thousands of people with just a few pieces of bread and a couple of fish. And then they would see him walk on water. It's almost as if the longer they followed him, the more they saw him at work. I wonder if there might be a lesson there for us. Why do we not see the work of God around us? Why do we not experience the reality of Christ's presence and his faithfulness to help us carry out his commission? That's possible. We're just not doing it. We're not living in the environment that Jesus has said he intends to work and bless you in. These early disciples, the blessing they received was disproportionately large to the comparatively small steps of faith they were taking here at this point in Mark's gospel. That's what Jesus means when he says to them, more will be given. Now let me just end with this. Soon, I mean not literally right now, but soon. There is a caution in these verses for those who hear the truth and figure they understand it, maybe even seem to respond to it, as we just read last week in the parable of the soils, the shallow heart, the divided heart. There seems to be a response, but nonetheless falls short of actual faith in Christ. Believing to the point of actually committing to him and following him. And the caution in Jesus' words is this: one day they will find that any opportunity to respond has passed them by. They're just not going to hear that voice anymore. Even the light they seem to once have is gone. I don't want you to leave here today in such a predicament. I don't want you to leave here today wondering if perhaps that's you. And all I can think to say to you, friend, wondering such a thing, turn to Christ. Trust in him, what he has done for you. Follow him. And listen, if you are a believer here this morning and your life in Christ seems a bit dry and lifeless, let me just say to you in love, the problem isn't Jesus. It's the other person in the relationship. I speak from experience. You're not seeing God work like you used to. It's very possible that you just need to get back to basics. It's very possible that you just need to turn the light on. Get back to the basic truth that you have been recreated in Christ Jesus to reflect the nature of God wherever you go. And you're not going to be very good at that in your own strength, but in the power of the Spirit, you'll excel. Stop going through the motions of playing church. I wonder if we could all just agree not to play church. Can we do that? Divine blessing is promised as we deliberately reflect so much for the light of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these words of truth. And Lord, simple as they are, it seems to take us our entire lives to step into the fullness of them. Thank you that you have obligated yourself to make us brighter and brighter image bearers. And Lord, you have obligated yourself to make us those who fish for others, that they might come into your kingdom through you. So Lord, I just pray that you would find us soft and shapeable as you do this work. Lord, that you would increase our faith in these areas where you are calling us even now to a specific obedience, Lord, that you've put upon our hearts. And we ask you this, Lord, ultimately, not only for our betterment, that we might have the abundant life you promised to us, but Lord, that you would be glorified through us, that your kingdom would grow in this place. We pray this, Jesus, in your name.